Okay. Boker Tov, everybody. We're here at Kehilat Shiftei Yisrael. We're on Hey Amud Bet. We're just going to read off the last few words of Hey Amud Aleph 5a, and then we're going to move on to 5b. And we're going to have some, this is a continuation of the discussion of Yisurin Shel Ahava, suffering or challenge that is brought on, you know, that happens to people in life, but it's really coming from a place of love and not from, not because God just wants to punish us. And we're going to see some miracle workers on this daf. We're going to see a rabbi who walks around with a very interesting, very curious object. Okay, and we'll see what that is in just a second. So we're in the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph. Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. There was a teaching, you know, that was taught before Rabbi Yochanan. Kol ha'usek b'Torah ugmilut chasadim v'koveret banav mochalim lo kol avodotav. Person who does three things. Two of these things we could all agree are very positive. A third, lo aleinu, should never happen to somebody. One is a person who studies Torah, a person who engages in gemilut chasadim, and a person who unfortunately has to bury one of their children, lo chalim lo kol avonotav, all of their sins are erased and forgiven. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, they said to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says to them when this teaching was being taught in front of him, "Bishlamat Torah ugmilut chasadim." This makes sense that if you study Torah and you engage in gmilut chasadim, that your sins will be erased. Dichtiv, as we prove in the pasuk. This is the pasuk: the chesed ve'emet yichupar avon. Through chesed, through kindness and emet, truth, one's sins are erased. Now chesed zo gmilut chasadim. That's gmilut chasadim. Shene emar. How do we know that chesed is gmilut chasadim? Shene emar rodef tztaka v'chesed yimatzei chayim tztaka v'chavod. So a person who runs after tztaka v'chesed, he will find life tztaka v'chavod, and therefore his sins are going to be erased. That's with regards to chesed. Emet, truth, zu Torah. This is Torah. Shene emar emet kane ve'al timkor. Acquire truth and don't sell it. Okay, and what do we sing? Torah Emet Natan Lanu, right? This is the true Torah. The Torah of truth was given to us. Elakoveret Banav Minayin. How do we know that if you a person Chas V'Shalom is to bear their child, that their sins will be erased? Tanalei Hahu Saba Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. A certain elderly person taught in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He brings a hekesh. This is a connection made in the psukim. Atya Avon Avon. We have the connecting word avon, which means sin, in two different contexts. Ketiv hacha bechesed ve'emet yuchupar avon. In the pasuk that we're talking about, it says that chesed and emet will atone for your sins. Uchtiv hatam, and it says in another pasuk, this pasuk can be found in Sefer Yirmiyahu, u'mishalem avon, and God repays or compensates avon avot elchik b'nehem. When a person loses a child, elchik b'nehem, so there's avonot are atoned for, and therefore we've proven that all three of these things in life will atone for a person's sins. Okay? And please God, we should have the first two. A lot of that in our life, of gemilut chasadim and Torah, but not the third. Rav Kook has a very interesting comment on this. He says, in life we have three different areas that we're supposed to improve. One is tikkun ha-ma'asim. One is fixing our actions. The other one is tikkun ha-seichel, fixing our mind. And the third is tikkun ha-regesh, which is a person's emotional state, a person's emotions, the depth of our emotions. He says, when it comes to Torah, and when it comes to the mind, the seichel, and when it comes to the ma'asim, we could very easily just add more Torah, add more gemilut chasadim. How does one create a deeper state of mind? And this, he says, this is by sometimes experiencing sadness, okay? And that's what has the ability to deepen a person, and that's his explanation. He's not explaining the theodicy, how this could possibly happen, but he's saying how it changes a person. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says,
that's
yeah.
It
seems like you need all three. Kol ha'usik. Kol ha'usik could be anyone who does. I don't know if you need necessarily all three. Vikover et banav. Meaning, but that's included as anyone who engages in one of these three things. Okay. Yeah. You know, okay. Next statement. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan teaches us. Nigaim ubanim einan yisurin shel ahava. Now we have this notion of yisurin shel ahava. Yisurin shel ahava is when Hashem sort of gives us some suffering or challenge, And this is not out of punishment, but it's because God loves us and wants to make us better. He wants us to purify ourselves or elevate ourselves to a higher level of spirituality. The key point, though, with this notion of Yisurin Shel Ahava is that the punishment can't be too strong. If the punishment is too strong, it's no longer Yisurin Shel Ahava. It's just a terrible, you know, feels like a terrible punishment. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Niga'im uvanim einan Yisurin Shel Ahava. Niga'im is when a person receives sara'at. Okay, if you receive sarat, or if you lose a child, einan, these are not Yisurin Shel Ahava. Now the Gemara is going to ask, wait a second, Niga'im is not Yisurin Shel Ahava, or Niga'im lo, we're on Hayim Bet. Niga'im are not Yisurin Shel Ahava, vehatanya, but we learn in a bright and a rabbinic teaching, kol mi sheyesh bo echad me'arba mar'ot Niga'im, whoever experiences one of the four signs of Niga'im, halalu einan ela mizbeach kapara. This is a form of atonement. So it seems like receiving Niga'im, I hope no one here has ever had Sarat or Niga'im leprosy, but if you have received any of these things, this is a Mizbeach Kapara, so we see that Niga'im is a form of Yisurin Shel Ahava. So we're going to give three answers to resolve this conflict. Answer number one, Kapara Hevu, it's atonement, Aval Yisurin Shel Ahava Lo Hevu. It's not Yisurin Shel Ahava, it's atonement, but not Yisurin Shel Ahava. Explanation number one. V'ibaitema is whenever we give another alternative answer, it's ibait. If you want to, ema say, if you want to say, halan v'halahu, we distinguish between two different places. Whenever you see this phrase in the Gemara, halan v'halahu, you know what it's referring to? It's referring to two different population groups. Who are these two different population groups? Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Remember, there are two Talmuds. There's the Talmud Bavli, which is being written and composed in Bavel. There's the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is being written in the area of Israel, Yerushalayim, the Galil. And these are the two main, you know, Jewish communities at this time. So Halan v'Halahu, there's a difference between Bavel and Yerushalayim.
Which was it?
So Halan is us, meaning in Bavel. Halahu is them in Eretz Yisrael. Okay?
We read that yesterday, that there's a view that the Gemara was given to Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
Which Gemara was it?
Good question. Both, of course, right? But we spoke about the Rambam's more minimalist reading of that sugya. So what's the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael in this case? And we're going to have a difference between Rashi and Tosfot on this issue. Rashi explains that in Israel, where the laws of Niga'im apply, if a person has tzarat, they have to be sent out of the camp. They have to be sent out of the city. They're exiled. Okay? So this, for a person to experience this, this is so embarrassing and so painful to have to go through. This is not Yisurin Shel Ahava. There's too much sort of punishment involved there to be considered Yisurin Shel Ahava. In contrast, in Bavel, where if you have tzarat leprosy, you're not sent away from everybody, that would be considered Yisurin Shel Ahava. The Tosfot says, wait a second. Rabbi Yochanan is living after the Beit HaMikdash, and after we no longer apply the laws of leprosy, even though they do apply in Eretz Yisrael, they don't apply in this time in history. What do you Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about leprosy and whether it still applies to, you know, how it applies in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, he says he's talking about something else. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about the notion that in Eretz Yisrael, they follow, they're more stringent about the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara. The person who has tzarat, who has leprosy, is impure, and therefore it's not Yisurin Shel Ahava in Eretz Yisrael because there are many consequences that one needs to deal with. Whereas in Bavel, it would be considered Yisurin Shel Ahava. I'll just share a third opinion of Ben Yehoyada. This is the Ben Ishchai.
Yeah. It's not only the question of whether you suffer and being taken away,
mm-hmm.
but also
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's not considered Yisurin Shel Ahava in Eretz Yisrael, because there are many consequences that you have to deal with and repercussions. In Bavel, it would be considered Yisurin Shel Ahava.
Because they're not
choshesh for Tumah v'Tahara. They don't still follow it. Now, a third explanation of Ben Yehoyada, this is a commentary on the Agadah written by the Ben Ishchai. He was the great rabbi of Iraq in the 19th century of Baghdad. And he says as follows, in Eretz Yisrael where there's Hashkachat Hashem, where you feel God's presence is God is watching over Eretz Yisrael. So it's Yisurin Shel Ahava in Eretz Yisrael, because we know that if a person gets tzarat, it's coming directly from Hashem, meaning there's a connection, there's a relationship. In Bavel, where they're often the diaspora in Galut, you know, and things are not controlled, if you will, directly by God, but God sort of delegates this to other malachim or sarim, whatever it is. So then it's not yisurin shel ahava. That's just, you feel just distant, and it doesn't. It's the opposite period, and it makes more sense because halan is here really in Bavel, whereas halehu it is yisurin shel ahava. Okay. The third opinion, third explanation for this tension, back in the Gemara, v'ibaiteima habitzina habifarhesia. Sina is what? Sniut. Sniut is like quietly, modestly, you know, privately. Bifarhesia is in public. If you can contact tzarat and everyone knows about it and everyone's writing about it on Facebook, that would be considered, that's not yisurin shel ahava, because it's too painful. Whereas if it's bitzina, it's under your clothing and no one knows about it, okay, but it's not, no one's happy about this, but that would be yisurin shel ahava. Again, yisurin shel ahava, it can't be too much. If it's too much of a punishment, it's not, it can't be a sign of love then from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Huh?
Say again?
All the tzara'at thing is coming from the Lashon Hara, right?
Well, that's one reason. There are different reasons.
The main reason for Lashon Hara, for the Rat is Lashon Hara, right?
That's one, I mean, that we talk about. That's the one we. Okay, good. Let's an uvanim lo. And wait a second, banim, we go back to the Gemara. We just said that banim, Rabbi Yochanan said, banim, are losing one's children is not yisurin shel ahava. So we say, hey chidami, how is this? This should be considered yisurin shel ahava. So ilei madahavaluhu umeitu, if you want to say it's a situation where you have children and then you lose them, chas v'shalom. But wait a second. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan himself says something very interesting. Dein garma dasira bir. Rabbi Yochanan would walk around with a bone from his 10th child who he buried. Okay? And this is like a terrible tragedy. It's a little comical though in a way, right? He would have a bone from his 10th child. There are discussions, wait a second, isn't this tamei to walk around with a bone? Rashi explains it's less than a sa'ira, it's less than a hair length. So that it wasn't mitame. He would walk around with a bone from his child. Why is this significant? Because clearly, and Rashi explains as such, that for Rabbi Yochanan, who was a great Torah sage, okay, anything that happens to him, it must be Yisurin Shel Ahava, because he was beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's walking, he's lost his 10 children, so clearly it is Yisurin Shel Ahava. So how could you say that it's not Yisurin Shel Ahava? So what's the answer? Elahad lo hevulei klal, vahad dahavulei umeitu. If you never had children, that's not Yisurin Shel Ahava. That's too much, that's too painful. But if you had a child and lost them, again, chas v'shalom, it shouldn't happen to anybody, that would be considered yisurin shel ahava. So Rabbi Yochanan, who lost his children, that is considered yisurin shel ahava. And we're going to talk about why he's walking around with the bone of his child. Okay, we'll get there in just a second. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba teaches. We have a story now, a few stories. Chalash, he was sick. He was on his bed. Al gabei Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan came to visit him. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, the guy who's walking around with his bone, is also a miracle worker. Okay, and Amar le chaviven alecha yisurin. He says, "How are the yisurin going for you? Are you enjoying them? Is it beneficial to you?" And what does Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says? He says, "Lo hein velo scharan. No, they're terrible, and I don't want the reward either. I'd prefer to be healthy." So what does he do? Amar le havli yadcha, give him your hand. Havli yadei, give him his hand, v'okme, and he gets up. Meaning he heals him just by holding his hand. And okay, so this is a story clearly about Yisurin. Now next story, Rabbi Yochanan chalash. Rabbi Yochanan himself was sick. Ale gabei Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina came to him. Amar lei chaviven alecha yisurin. Amar lei lo hein velo scharan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Oh, these are terrible, miserable. I don't want this. I don't want the reward." So Amar lei havli yatcha. He said, "Give me your hand." He grasps his hand. Yahav lei adei v'okme. And he gets up. Now this is the same Rabbi Yochanan who was doing miracle working and healing someone else. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan just use his own magic on himself? That's the next Gemara's question. Amai lokim Rabbi Yochanan lenafshe. He should just heal himself and he should get up. So what's the answer? Amri ein chavush matir asmo mi beit asurim. The person who is himself in prison cannot get himself out of prison. You need help from the outside, even though he has the powers to heal others. Okay? And mibeit asurim is one of the brachot we make in Tfilat HaShachar, which is, you know, when we wake up and stretch and, you know, we're free, from matir asurim. So next idea, Rabbi Elazar, another story, chalash, he was also sick. Alugabe Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yochanan comes and visits his friend Rabbi Eliezer. Chazad dahava kagani beveit avel. He sees that he's in terrible conditions. He's sleeping in his home. It's all dark. He's got no light. Okay, Galia Lidrae, he sort of revealed his arm, his forearm, okay, and what happened? Venafel Nahora, and light came out. Chazi Dahavu Kabachi Rabbi Eliezer, and then he sees Rabbi Eliezer is crying. Why is Rabbi Eliezer crying? Am I Kabachit? Why are you crying, Rabbi Eliezer? Imishum Torah Delo Ifshat. If it's because you didn't get to study enough Torah in your life, don't we learn Shaninu? Whether one studies more or less, as long as one has the right intention, that's sufficient. This notion really comes up by korbanot, that if you bring a more expensive korban or a less expensive korban, as long as one's intentions are in the right place, it's sufficient. So what, you don't need to cry about Torah. That shouldn't make you cry. If you're crying because you don't have a great parnasa, you haven't made a lot of money, not every person is zocheh to have Torah and wealth. Okay, these two things don't often come together. Tosfot specifically points out, don't say that a person never has these two things. People sometimes do merit to have these two things, but most of the time they don't. They don't come together. And the third, v'imishum banai din garma da'asiri bar. And if you're upset that you've lost children, they've gotten sick and you've lost them, well, listen, I have my bone here of my tenth child, why is he showing, what type of comfort is that? So maybe he's saying, listen, I've been through what you've gone through and I'm still standing. He's trying to give him comfort by showing him this bone of his tenth child. Okay, so now Rabbi Eliezer explains why he is crying. Amarle lahayshufra debali ba'afra. Lahayshufra, this beauty, shufra is beauty. It's because of this beauty, and he's referring to Rabbi Yochanan's face, that is going to live alot, that's going to deteriorate in the ground. Kabachina, that's why I am crying. But bachina, notice the nun aleph at the end, that's I in Aramaic. Bachi, bachina, I, and that's why I am crying. So what is this referring to? So okay, he could be just lamenting the fact that everyone's going to die, and your beautiful face, Rabbi Yochanan, this too is going to die as well. However, commentators suggest that he's Rabbi Yochanan reminded him of the Beit Hamikdash, and so he's really crying over the loss of the Beit Hamikdash. Okay, b'seder. Amarle al da v'da kabachit. He says if you're crying over this. Kabachit uvachi tarvaihu. They both cried together. Adhachi vachi amalei chaviben alecha yisurin. He says, now he says, let me try to help you. Are you yisurin? Are you getting benefit from these yisurin? Amalei lohein velo schara. No, they're miserable. They're terrible. Amalei havi atchai yavle yadei ba'okme. He says, give me your hand. He gives him his hand and he heals him as well. Okay. Next story. Rav Huna. Rav Huna was a winemaker, or he engaged in the wine trade. Kakifule arba mea dani dechamra. He had 400, I guess, bottles or barrels of wine, and guess what happened? They went bad and they turned into vinegar. Now, would you prefer to have 400 barrels of wine or 400 barrels of vinegar?
So,
very good, David. Thank you for answering that. Alegabe Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda goes to him, Achva the Rav Sala Chasida, the brother of Rav Sala Chasida, Rabbanan, the rabbi. So they go up to Rav Huna, the Amri La Rav Huna, Rav Adabar Ahava, Rabbanan, and the Rav Adabar Ahava, the Rabbanan, they say the following to him. Amri La Ayan Mar Bemile. They say to Rav Huna, maybe you should check your ways. Maybe you should do some cheshbon nefesh to figure out why this happened to you, that 400 of your casks have gone sour. Amar lehu. So Rav Huna, you can imagine he gets defensive, and he does, and he says, Umi chashidna ba'einaychu, chashidna od pam, the nun aleph, the eye. Am I suspect ba'einaychu in your eyes? Amrule, they say to him, Mi chashid ku jabrichu d'avidina belodina. Well, it's either you're chashud or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chashud, because clearly this happened for a reason, and so we presume that you're chashud, you're suspicious, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so what do we do here? So Amrulehu iika man de shmiya la mil talema. So Rav Huna says, listen, if anyone knows about anything I did wrong, then say it. you know, let me know what it is and we could talk it through. Amrulay, hachi shmia lan. They say to him, this is what we've heard. Lan is lan, is lanu. We've learned to lo yahiv mar shabisha la'arise. Ah, we've heard that you're not paying your sharecropper sufficiently. Aris is a sharecropper. Shabisha, but in what way was he not paying in sufficiently? They had a vineyard, okay? So he has all these vineyards. And according to the laws of sharecropping, not only do you need to give the sharecropper some of the grapes, but also some of the zmurot, the branches that are cut on a yearly basis. Chalko bizmor ha-gefen shechotchin mehen b'shat ha-zamir. Not only do you have to give the sharecropper some wine, but also some of the branches. If anyone's thinking of going into winemaking, you should be aware of this if you were to hire a sharecropper. Okay, so this is what you've done wrong. So Rav Huna says, wait a second, excuse me, but this guy is already taking a much greater portion than he's supposed to. He says, you want me to give him more? He's already taking much more of the grapes than he's supposed to. So Amrulay, they say to him, Hainu de Amri Inshi. This is what people say. There's this saying, Batar Ginava Ganuv Vitama Taim. Let's look at Rashi. It's about 12 lines up Rashi on the left side. Batar Ginava Ganuv Chule. Hagonev min Haganav. If someone steals from a Ganav, Afu Toim Taam Geneva. He's saying, it's true that he may owe you more, but by you not giving him the Zmarot, some of the branches, you're stealing from him, okay? And therefore, you're party to his stealing because he's taking more grapes because you're not giving him some of the Zmarot. So, you know, this is what happens when you, you know, if you don't give him what you need to give him. So Amar Lahu, he says to him, Kabilna, again, the Nun Aleph, I take upon myself, alai diyavin alai, that I will give him some of the branches from the vineyards as part of the sharecropping contract. Okay? Aika de Amri, so what happens at the end of the story? Hadar chala v'hava chamra. Okay? What happened? The hadar chala, the vinegar, the chala, it turns back into wine magically. Wow. Aika de Amri, there are those who say, no, that's not what happened. Rather, iyaker chala, the value of vinegar went up a tremendous amount, and it was worth the value of wine, so he sold the vinegar, and he didn't lose that. Ayakar chala, v'izdavan b'demei chamra, and he sells the wine, and shalom al Yisrael, he doesn't lose any of the value. But really, kol hakavod to Rav Huna, that he's, you know, when people are approached like this with, you know, very harsh rebuke, all the rabbis are coming to him, and, you know, kol hakavod him saying, fine, kibalti, I accept what I did wrong, and I'm going to fix it. Okay. Tanya Abba Binyamin teaches us. And he says, Omer al shnei dvarim hayiti mitzta'er kol yamai. Two things I was always very careful about. I was to the point of being distressed. And I was careful about every single day. What are they? Al tfilati shetehed lifnei mitati. That my tfilah should be before my bed. Okay? The al mitati shetehed netuna ben safon adarom. And that my bed should face north-south instead of, as we're going to see, east-west. Okay? Al tfilati shetehed lifnei mitati. What do you mean that you're davening, that you're going to daven before your bed? My lifnei mitati. Ilei ma lifnei mitati mamash. If you mean like, really mamash, he was davening in front of his bed. Ve'ha'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, v'item Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. It's a very practical halakha. Minayin l'mitpalel shelo yehi davar chotet ben levin akir. How do you know when you daven, you shouldn't have something between you and the wall, okay? Because it's chotzeit. What's the problem of something being between you and the wall? What do you think? What's the problem? Okay, there's just two different explanations. One is that it takes away kavanah. That's the Rambam. Second explanation in the Rishonim is that tefillah is based on the korbanot. You are not allowed to have something chotzeit, something be a barrier between you and the mizbeach when you're giving a korban. Okay, so two different explanations. Perhaps there might be a nafka, I mean a practical difference. If a barrier is on the ground, and you don't see it, so it's not going to be chotzeit. It's not going to visually impair you or distract you, but it would be a problem from a korbanot perspective. So if you're not supposed to have anything, how could you daven in front of your bed if you're not supposed to have anything between you and the wall? And we bring a proof for this, by the way. Vayasev Chizkiyahu panav lakir. Chizkiyahu turns to the wall to daven. Okay, Vayit Palel, and nothing was between him and the wall. So the Gemara answers, we need to rephrase this teaching. Lo tema lifnei mitati, don't say before the bed, ela ema samuch mitati, just say next to the bed. Okay, and Tosfot points out that Abamilta de Kaviyah, Okay, if you look at the Tosfot Shelo, Divrei Hamatzil Shelo, it's the third one up from on the right side from the bottom. But something that's already fixed as furniture. I mean, you can make a case. How could you daven anywhere in the shul? There's furniture everywhere. What's the answer? Tosfot says, Milta dekavia kegon aron v'teva ein zehepsek aval mitan nirash ein zekavu. Something fixed furniture, that's not davar chotzeitz. We're talking about something that's movable, you know, bed.
The wall is chotzeitz.
Say again?
The wall is chotzeitz, if you really want to.
Yeah, you can make the case the wall is chotzeitz. Maybe we should all daven outside in the fields. You know, so, okay. Now, what about the second thing about his mitah? His mitah being from, in the right position. The al mitatisha tehine tuah ben tzafon darom, the mitah being between north and south, facing, you know, okay, the Amr Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, kol anoten mitado bein tzafon darom, hedyon banim zacharim. If you put your bed north-south, you'll have boys, dafka boys, I guess as opposed to girls. Shene Amar, utzfoncha tzmalei v'vitnam yispu banim. Okay, tzafon, tzfoncha, yispu banim, you'll have boys. Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, af ein ishto mapelet nefalim, also your wife will never miscarriage. And it says there, okay, so there's a case of, in the Torah, of not having, this is, okay, so, now, Tanya Abba Binyamin, by the way, what's the notion of why Tzafon Darom as opposed to Mizrach Ma'arav? Because we say the Shekhinah is in the west, Ma'arav, the Kodesh HaKodeshim is in the western portion of the Temple Mount, right? So, which is, where the closest, where the Kotel HaMa'aravi is. The Kotel HaMa'aravi, by the way, faces east, but it's on the west side of the Temple Mount, closest to where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. Okay. Tanya Abba Binyamin, another teaching from Abba Binyamin, Omer, Shnaim Shenechnesu Lihitpalel, two people who go together to Davin, Vekadam Echad Mehem Lihitpalel, Velo Intinat Chavero, and the first one finishes his fila, and he goes out, he leaves his friend there. This is considered a terrible thing. To abandon your friend, maybe we're talking about a situation where you're, I don't know, maybe he's alone in the shul, or because now viyatsa, and then you leave, torsino tefillah to b'fanav. You're like ripping up your friend's tefillah right before his eyes. Shene amar toreif nafsho be'apo halmancha tazov aretz. V'lo od, and furthermore, ela shegoreim l'shechina shetistalek m'Yisrael. You're causing the Shechina, God's presence, to leave the Jewish people, shene amar, v'ya'atek tzur mimkomo. And the rock will go up from his place. V'ein tzur, the rock, is ela hakadosh baruch hu. Right, this is what it says in the Declaration of Independence, right? Tzur Yisrael, which could be interpreted in different ways, we obviously interpret it to mean hakadosh baruch hu, shene amar, tzur yiladcha tashi. And if you wait for him, what is your sachar? We'll just read the next word or two of the next page. Okay, well, Amar Rav Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Zochel lebrachot halalo. You'll have many blessings. Shenamar lo yikshavta lemitzvotai. Vayikanachos shamecha vizkatecha keleayam. Vayikachol zarecha vetzatzei me'echa vegomer. You'll merit to have, if you wait for him, lu hikshavta is lashon. If you wait, then you will have... shalom and tzidkut and kigalei ayam, v'yayekhozar echa v'tatem imecha, you'll have many abundant children. Okay, so this is why a person should wait for another person to finish their tefillah. It sounds like the idea here, if you look at Rashi, is that you're causing, when you go out, you're saying to God's presence, come with me and leave my friend who's davening. Rashi seems to say, so this is the idea. Okay? Yeah?
Like the
Kohen
Gadol and the
what is he saying in Stein Steinbuch? Yeah?
Outside the town.
We're talking about a dangerous place. That sounds like that's the correct explanation. Okay. Yishar Koach, everybody. We got through two blot today, two blot this week. And please, God, we will continue on Monday morning. Have a great day.
And